Srila Prabhupada ki. Iskan BBT founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki. Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki. Prem Jagaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivas Adigaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana ki. Sri Vrindavan Dhamma ki, Sri Mathura Dhamma ki, Sri Mayapur Navadvip Dhamma ki, Jamuna Devi ki, Ganga Devi ti, Tulsi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Sankirtan Yajna ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Iskan Guru Vrinda ki, Iskan Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanandi. We are very happy to have Bhakti and Jennifer here, joining us from Austin. Is this your first time in Houston? How do you like the temple room? Very nice. Do you like the temple room? Do you like the way the temple is? Eight. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Text Number 8. Durapurena Kamena Mohena Chabaliyasa Sesham Griheshu Shaktasya Kamatasyo Payatihi Dura Purena Kamena yasha bali yasha Shesham griheshu shaktasya Pramatasya payatihi Dura purena, which is never fulfilled. Kamena, by a strong aspiration to enjoy. This is called karma. Kamena, by a strong aspiration to enjoy the material world. Mohena, by bewilderment. Cha, also. Baliyasa, which is strong and formidable. Sesham, the remaining years of life. Griheshu, to family life. Shaktasya, of one who is too attached. Pramatasya, mad. Apayati, wastefully pass. He, indeed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One whose mind and senses are uncontrolled becomes increasingly attached to family life because of insatiable lusty desires and very strong illusion. In such a madman's life, the remaining years are also wasted, because even during those years, he cannot engage himself in devotional service. Purport. This is the account of 100 years of life. Although in this age a lifetime of 100 years is generally not possible, even if one has 100 years, the calculation is that 50 years are wasted in sleeping, 20 years in childhood and boyhood, and 20 years in invalidity, jada vyadi. This leaves only a few more years, but because of too much attachment to household life, those years are also spent with no purpose, without God consciousness. Therefore, one should be trained to be a perfect brahmachari in the beginning of life, and then to be perfect in sense control, following the regulative principles, if one becomes a householder. From household life, one is ordered to accept vanaprastha life and go to the forest and then accept sannyas. That is the perfection of life. From the very beginning of life, those who are ajitendriya, who cannot control their senses, are educated only for sense gratification, as we have seen in the Western countries. Thus, the entire duration of life of even 100 years is wasted and misused. And at the time of death, one transmigrates to another body, which may not be human. At the end of 100 years, one who has not acted as a human being in the life of tapasya, austerity and penance, must certainly be embodied again in a body like those of cats, dogs, and hawks. Therefore, this life of lusty desires and sense gratification is extremely risky. Om Abhyanati Madandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksul Umilatam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitana Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapandantikam. So we are blessed to hear these valuable instructions by Sri Prahlad Maharaj as well as by Srila Prabhupada. And they are certainly very sobering. Prahlad Maharaj has shown how we spoil this human life. We should understand that human life is very, very rarely achieved. Emanab durlaba manava deho paliya ki koro bhava nakeho eva nebal jila yasoda sutta charame poribe laje. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained about this rare human life and how it gets spoiled. And he says in a very simple way that I have spoiled this human form of life, and anyone will spoil it if they do not worship the darling of Mother Yasoda. That means Yasoda Nandana, Lord Krishna. The same thing has been said by Narottam Thakur, Hari Hari, or by Bhaktivinoda, Hari Hari Bifale, Janama Goinu, Manusa Janma Pai Radha Krishna Nabajiya, Ajaniya Sunya Bishakainu. Narottam Thakur has sung that I have willingly drunk poison. And what is that poison? In this human form of life, I have not worshipped Radha and Krishna. So, with this type of evaluation, we can see that nearly everyone in the world today has misused their human form of life. They don't worship Krishna. Instead, they worship these bodies. How do they worship the body? Every morning when they get up, they go in front in the bathroom, they go in front of a mirror, and they begin their worship. Just like we do worship of the deity by decorating the deity, you can see, with nice sandalwood pulp dots on the cheek. The materialists, they put, you know, all kinds of cologne and aftershave lotion, or ladies put on lipstick, false eyebrows, false eyelashes, false hair, sometimes wigs. The whole body is actually false, because this is not our real body. This body which we have is a manifestation of our material consciousness. Actually, we create this body with our mental impressions from the previous life. Just like those who are ladies, they were probably men in their previous lives who were too much attached to their wives. And now they have got a woman's body. And now they may get very attached to husbands, then they'll get a man's body. And if the brahmacharis are not very intelligent, or if the householders are not very intelligent, then they'll become very attached to their wives. And then in the next life, they will be sitting here on this side of the room. The ladies will be sitting on this side of the room. And so this goes back and forth, lifetime after lifetime, of increased attachment. Therefore, Komara Acharam Prabno Dharman Bhagavata Iha. Prahlad Maharaj has said in the very beginning of this chapter that when you are in youthhood, this is the time to become aware of Dharma. This is tapasya, and human life. Tapasya means austerity. Human life is meant for austerity. If little children perform austerity, it is not austerity for them. Just like for us, to sleep on a hard floor is a great austerity. But if you tell a little child to sleep on a hard floor, they don't find it unpleasant. It doesn't disturb them. If you tell a little child to take a cold shower and he becomes used to the cold shower, it doesn't disturb him. But if you try to tell an old person to take a cold shower, they think it's practically like death. So if we learn to bear austerities when we're young, then it becomes much easier later on. If you think it's hard to be austere now, you have no idea how hard it'll be when you get older. So it's better when you're young to practice these austerities. Of course, what is the purpose of austerity? Not just for accumulating some material result. Like business people or people who have jobs, they go through austerities. What is their austerity? They get up and go on the freeway and get caught in a traffic jam. That's an austerity. Why do they do this? To maintain family life. That's all. They go through so many austerities. But what is the result? Simply a little bit of pleasure in family life. It's impossible to avoid austerity. The main thing is to choose those austerities, to select those austerities which will benefit one spiritually. And for this reason, Srila Prabhupada has translated the Vedic literatures so we can understand what is spiritual austerity. Just like it is the austerity of the tongue to chant the holy names of the Lord. The austerity of the tongue to take Krishna prasadam. Of course, not too much prasadam. Otherwise, too much prasadam means too much sleeping. Now today is Ekadasi, so we can practice some austerity. No grains, no beans. Still, we take prasad. Why do we take prasad on Ekadasi? Because we have so much service to do. Somebody may have the strength, they can fast entirely. But Srila Prabhupada did not insist on this. He was more insistent that we do service to Krishna. Therefore, we may take prasadam today, Ekadasi prasadam, and we go out and we preach. The greatest austerity is to take responsibility to deliver, to help to deliver the conditioned souls. That's the best austerity, Sankirtan. It is the very best austerity. If you feel compassion, even if you don't feel compassion, but if you go out on the order of your guru, and distribute Krishna consciousness, this is considered maximum compassion. It is good to be compassionate. And the maximum degree of compassion is when you go out and you give Krishna consciousness to people. So, and to do so, you have to undergo austerity. It is austerity. It is austerity just like our Sankirtan devotees live in a van, and that's austere, and they sometimes complain that it's too difficult. Sometimes they just can't tolerate it. They have to live in such close quarters. Who would live like this normally? You can see, normally, when people make a motorhome, if they recondition a van, they make so much room in the van, right, for living, etc. But what do? Almost the entire area of the van is saved for putting books in. That means we are sacrificing our own comforts for the sake of preaching. Now, don't you think that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu will reciprocate? How much pleased they become when they see the Sankirtan devotees willing to undergo such difficulties to assist them. Because it is only for this purpose that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu have come. This is why, only for this reason, Krishna comes. Otherwise, they're situated in the spiritual sky. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, are existing in the spiritual world because they have their spiritual abode there. Then why did they come in this world? Only for our sake. Only to show an example of what they're doing in the spiritual world. And our preaching is to tell people about what is going on in the spiritual world. They come here to preach in this world. So anyone who takes up the mission of Krishna consciousness by assisting in the preaching is performing the maximum degree of austerity. We have to be very sober and realize how much time is being wasted. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned 50% of your life is wasted in sleep. Now, if you say that's not true, I don't sleep 12 hours a day, but you don't live 100 years either. Probably you may live 65, 70 years. So 65, 70 years, if you live and you sleep, say, 7 hours, 8 hours, compared to 100 years, it comes to nearly 50% of your life. 50% of the life. And what did Prabhupada say about sleeping? It is like death. sleeping is like death. He said, I don't like it at all. At the final year, when Prabhupada was getting ready to leave this material world, he said, for so long I was praying to overcome eating and sleeping, and now finally, by the grace of Krishna, this has happened. So 50 years, or if half of one's life, is spoiled in sleep. Then the calculation is given, 20 years in childhood and boyhood, or girlhood. Why is it wasted? You consider this. You go to school. What do you learn in school? Have you learned anything about Krishna? Have you learned anything about the soul in all those years in school? How much time you spoiled in thinking about boyfriends, girlfriends? So much time is spoiled on that level. How much time is spent in frivolous sports or playing with toys? It's like, you know, you can see these big toy stores, Toys R Us, all over the world. It's a huge chain. And what is the purpose of it? How to distract the children from the real purpose of human life by making them simply think endlessly of, you know, one game after another, one toy after another. So certainly 20 years is spoiled in childhood or youthhood. Then 20 years in invalidity. What does that mean? Old age. Invalidity means old age. So, who will not become invalid? And what, you know, we use this word invalidity, it has invalid. It's like when you have a, let's say, a license or a credit card and the time runs out, right? It is invalidated. It is of no use any longer. So old age is usually like this. People become so old, their bodies become so useless, they can't be engaged in any way. Sometimes they think, that is the time I will join Krishna consciousness, when I have become old. But Prabhupada says that is like, you know, Govinda Nama. When you have in India, they have the grains, the wheat, and they, when they harvest the wheat to separate the chaff, they have a system of throwing it up in the air. First of all, they put it on the road. Now they put it on the road because there are many automobiles. So instead of putting it through a crusher, they put it on the road and all the automobiles drive over the grains. You may not believe this, but this is what happens in India. This is why it's very dangerous to drive in India. Because you see so many farmers put their grains on the right on the road, right on the highway. Now you may say, that's crazy. Why would anybody put grains on the highway? Because the cars come and crush the grains. Is it true or not? And then after a day or two of crushing the grains, the farmer picks up the grains and he throws the grains up in the air. And the wind will blow away the chaff, the outer, you know, external useless portion of the grain. And the rest of the grain falls down and then it's useful for grinding and making it to flour. Am I right? Jennifer says yes. This is a system in India. So sometimes when the wind blows, not only the chaff is blown away, but some of the grains also are blown away. So sometimes when that happens, the farmer says, Govinda Nama. I'm offering these grains to Govinda. But actually, what kind of offering is that? He didn't offer it willingly, but the grains automatically blew away, and then he thought as a gesture, all right, now, Govinda, you can have these. So Prabhupada said, this is like one example of an old person, you know, or someone who has no more any use. He cannot use it, just like the farmer can't get those grains anymore. Then he says, okay, Krishna, you can have it. So a person tries so hard to enjoy throughout life, and then at the final end, when there's no more value to the body, and they can do practically no more, they say, okay, now, Krishna, I'm ready to surrender. You can have me. So we should not let this happen. And even then, most people don't do that. We see old people staying at home and playing with the grandchildren, isn't it? They become the babysitters. This is a very common thing. Instead of becoming vanaprastha, they become babysitters. Is vanaprastha life babysitting? No. One has to leave home. Because home is the place of attachment. And attachment is the cause of repeated birth and death. Therefore it is said, Anta kalecha mameva smanan mukto kalevano. At the end of life, certainly one has to remember the Lord. Yat prayati samad bhavam yati nasti atta sangsayaha. Then there will be no more birth again in this material world. But if you stay at home, what do you remember? All the things which you're attached to. Therefore we see the example of old people dying and surrounded by their family members, and everybody's crying, and they're crying. What is their next birth? Again, in that same house. But Prabhupada says, as a cockroach, or as a mouse. They're so attached to their house, they die surrounded by their family. They're so attached to their family, so they have to take birth again in that same place. But because they live their life in a very abominable way, they don't get a human birth. They take birth in the same house with the same family members, but this time they take birth as a cockroach or a mouse. One time I did a program in Fiji, in Suva, in this place, Bindi Bhavan. You know that place? Anyway, this Mr. Bindi, who was the host for us, I gave this lecture and I was talking about taking birth as a mouse because people who are too much attached. And he was very, very attached to this building, you know, that he was letting us stay in. He said, yes, yes, that is me. He screamed, you know, he spoke out right in the middle of the lecture. He couldn't even control it. Yes, that is me. And then I said, and they will take birth as a mouse. He said, yes, yes. He was prepared. He said, any way to come back into this building, I don't mind. So people become so bewildered. And just like this word is given here. Mohena, by bewilderment. What is the bewilderment here? Increasingly attached to family life because of insatiable lusty desires. And therefore we become so tired. We work so hard. And what are we working so hard for? What is it that we're working so hard for? Not any longer spreading Krishna consciousness. This is the misfortune of family life. Actually, it is a misfortune. It is a great misfortune. Because as a brahmachari or a brahmacharini, one has no other business except this Sanatana Dharma. Grihastha Dharma is not Sanatana Dharma. Brahmachari life is also not Sanatana Dharma. But what you can do within brahmachari life is Sanatana Dharma. You can serve Guru and Krishna 100%. This is the value of brahmachari or brahmacharini life. Therefore, we're always urging, as long as you can remain brahmachari or brahmacharini, do it. Now, Prabhupada also was very kind upon the grihasthas. Therefore, what did he tell the grihasthas as soon as they got married? As soon as a brahmachari or brahmacharini got married, what did Prabhupada tell their new grihastha couple? Yes, Rasamrita. What else did he say practically for them to do? Yes, go and open a new temple. As soon as a couple used to get married, Prabhupada immediately sent them out to open a new temple. Why? So they wouldn't get involved in having jobs. That's why. Because he knew that by opening a new temple, then they have to preach. Somehow or other, they're going to have to preach and maintain themselves. And by maintaining their temple, they'll also get a place to live. And he expected them to live separately. And just see the austerity that Srila Prabhupada expected from all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, not just the brahmacharis, the vanaprasthas, and the sannyasis. This is how Prabhupada started this movement. He did not allow anyone to have sense gratification. Even if someone wanted to get married, then he said, as Rasamrita said, this grihastha life is not a license for sense gratification. Go and open a temple. Now, how do you think Prabhupada opened 108 temples? How do you think Prabhupada opened 108 temples in such a short time? As soon as someone got married, he'd say, okay, go open a temple. And then he would say, household of life is for responsible living. And the responsibility is you have to deliver the conditioned souls. That's your responsibility. Not just maintaining wife and children. Because he said every single Grihamedi is doing that. You cannot say that that is the responsibility of a householder. A householder's responsibility is to give shelter to all the conditioned souls. Therefore, before a householder eats, he's supposed to go outside the door and say, prasadam, prasadam, prasadam. Of course, here in America, if you do that, people think you're crazy. Think, why do they do this every evening? Go out and say some funny word called prasadam, prasadam, prasadam. But if you've opened a temple, then it's your business to invite people for prasadam. Now, very few householders are doing this anymore. Very few. Some are doing, Mahatma Janam is doing. Some are doing. And others are being very responsible, just like Shamsundar and his wife and others here. They're also taking responsibility, no free time, always preaching Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other, if you do not perform austerities, then you're not a human being. You should understand, human life is distinguished from animal life. In what way? In that in the human form of life, Prabhupada, encourage people. Why don't you try to maintain by preaching? You think it's not possible? Then it means you have no faith. It is possible. But you may have to live more simply. Now, if you remain brahmachari, brahmacharini for some time and practice this austerity, then if you have to enter into household life, you may remain sober and think, why should I give up? Just like Janava, she got a taste, right, for preaching. So she thought, even when I enter into household life, I'm not going to get entangled in normal household life, right? That she said, we'll open a preaching center. She did with Mahama what Prabhupada said should be done. And she's not unhappy. Instead of, you know, she's getting her children by getting new bhaktins, new bhaktas, without all the problem of changing diapers, although there are just as many problems to deal with in the minds of the new bhaktas and new bhaktins can be as troublesome as dealing with a new baby, even more so. This is a sacrifice which Krishna will certainly reward. And if one can remain a brahmachari throughout one's life, so much the better. When Prabhupada had the Radha Damodar party came to visit Prabhupada in Atlanta, they were all brahmacharis and sannyasis. Prabhupada said, save yourself so much trouble. He didn't encourage them to get married. He said, save yourself so much trouble. He said, why should I encourage you? Because some of you will do it anyway. I don't have to encourage you. Rather, I will encourage you to remain brahmachari. Just like Prabhupada said, I don't have to encourage anyone to do business because you're already trained to do business. From the very childhood, what do we play? Monopoly. At least we used to play that Monopoly game. We're always trying to defeat the opponents, get Park Place, Boardwalk, put hotels there, and charge, how much? $200 or something. It's like we're getting trained to be vicious. Where was the training for brahminical life? Completely absent. So therefore Prabhupada gave more emphasis for training Brahmins. Because he said, you've already been trained to do everything else except to know Krishna and to teach people about Krishna. So we should understand then what is the value of human life and how to use it. Eating, sleeping, sex life, and fear are the four bodily necessities. But to utilize the full duration of a life of a person desiring to advance in spiritual consciousness must reduce these activities by force. If you can't do it by feeling, do it by force. Feeling will come later. Don't expect that feelingly I will reduce eating, sleeping, mating, and defending when I'm attracted to Krishna. No. You have to practice now. Just like those who are interested in spiritual advancement, they try to control their eating. They regulate their sleeping. They regulate mating. They regulate defending. And therefore they become more advanced in spiritual life. So, these verses from Prahlad Maharaj are very, very valuable. This Krishna consciousness process of chanting Hare Krishna, reading our books, taking prasadam, associating with devotees, this will give us a higher taste. Then the lower things will go away. Raghunath Das Goswami is the perfect example of renunciation. And he has offered a nice prayer. Vairagya yuk vakti rasam prayatnaya apaya mamam anabipsham andam kripam buddhiya paraduka duki sanatanastam pranam ashayami. He offers this prayer to his guru, Sanatan Goswami. He says, Sanatan Goswami was very kind to me. He forcefully made me drink the bitter medicine of renunciation, although I had no taste for it. So sometimes our guru will forcefully make us taste this renunciation. Raghunath Das Goswami said he was very kind, kripam buddhiya, very kind to me. He forced me to accept the mercy of austerity, of renunciation. We should place ourselves at the disposal of our spiritual master and willingly allow him to manipulate us as a puppet is manipulated on strings. Now we pray to our spiritual master, please accept me just like a puppet, as a tool in your hands, and make me dance as you would make want. Just like Srila Prabhupada offered that prayer on board the ship, Jaladuta, and he said, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. You have brought me here for a purpose known best to you. Now please fulfill this name that you have given me and make me dance, Bhaktivedanta, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. So we'll stop here. Anyone have any questions? Gauranga Das.
Just now at this point that you say that the spiritual master forcefully makes me renounce. How
does the spiritual master forcefully make one renounce? By engaging you in the preaching activities. Huh? Disciple has to be willing to be engaged. Just like the spiritual master may encourage, please go on Sankirtan. If the disciple doesn't agree, how can the guru force? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink the water. Ultimately, it's voluntary. When we say the guru forces, force means it's up to the disciple ultimately to choose whether to serve Krishna or Maya. Sankirtan is such a good activity. It has the greatest of all taste to it. But in the beginning, it is bitter. But in the end, it becomes very sweet. Anyone who knows the pleasure of standing and meeting people who were otherwise completely an illusion, and you hand them books, and they go away taking a transcendental literature, knows what a satisfying feeling this is. And you get to do it not once. On Sankirtan, you get to do it 20 times, 30 times, 40, 50 times. Can you imagine how those devotees in Europe feel when, you know, they give an armload of books to someone and they see a person going away, you know, with the books so high they can't keep them between their chin and they're holding the books like this. So much satisfaction. So it's bitter in the beginning, sweet in the end. That is spiritual life. Actually, most people are quite passionate. If you're passionate, then I cannot see why you cannot maintain by Sankirtan. But it's more difficult. Why? Because it requires very, very focused consciousness. You have to get, you can't do this job like you can do an ordinary job. If you don't go to bed early, if you don't get up early, if you don't chant very good rounds, if you don't regulate how much you eat, if you don't hear the philosophy, you can't do Sankirtan. It's impossible. You won't have the determination to do it. You won't have the potency to do it. And Krishna will not empower you to do it. Therefore, it's better to just get it. It's easier to just get a job. Just like that song, remember? Get a job. Remember that song? In the 60s, there was a song, Get a Job. Have you heard that song? I don't know. Some famous singer used to sing it. It was a very popular song. And that's the song they used to sing to us, Get a Job. We go out on Harinam or book distribution, people say, Get a Job. And we have the best job. Why should we get another job? What benefit do we get from such a job? I work hard 40 hours a week. You give me a paycheck. I give the money for paying a rent or a mortgage payment. I pay my food bills. I buy some furniture, some clothing. That's it. That's what I'm working for. Get a job. What's the difference between that and a little bird that flies around all day looking for straw to build a nest? That bird, we say a bird has a bird brain. And that's the use of a brain of the size of a bird's brain, is to build a nest. That's how much, that's the capacity of brain size you need to do that work. Therefore we see these people are called mudhas. What is a mudha? A foolish ass, a beast of burden, who simply works hard to build a nest, to furnish the nest, to feed the young. How is that a result of transcendental brain power? Life's time should be saved for being Krishna conscious. Another question? Good. Let's end here. Then the Sankirtan party can go out early. I hope that the Sankirtan scores will go up more and more today. We know that simply by going out more hours, the results will increase. It is quite a fact. It is a simple fact. Sankirtan Yajna Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.